You're listening to the CDL Files, brought to you by Driver's Legal Plan. Our show is hosted by Marilyn Serber and Brad Klepper, and we're really glad you joined us. Come along for the ride as we delve into some interesting corners of the trucking world. Let's open the CDL Files.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is our first podcast. My name is Marilyn Serber. I'm the VP of Sales and Marketing for Driver's Legal Plan. And this is the first episode of the CDL Files, our new podcast. I am joined by our president, Mr. Brad Klepper, who came up with the name, the CDL Files. He's a sci-fi person, I guess. I don't know much about the CD, about the X-Files, which is where I assume the name came from. So Brad, where did the CDL Files name come from?
Well, first, I'm fundamentally offended that you don't know what the X-Files were.
Well,
it also shows that I'm incredibly old. For those of a certain age, those of us of a certain age, you remember the X-Files. It was, the late 90s? David Duchovny.
My dad really liked them a lot, I know.
Just proving my earlier statement. So I'm a big fan of sci-fi, and the tagline on the X-Files was always, "The truth is out there." Well, we're a law firm. We defend people, and that's all that we're ever doing is really seeking the truth. And I thought it was just kind of a nice tie-in between the geeky sci-fi fan and me and the legal profession. So
yeah, I love that. We're seeking the truth on behalf of the driver and the motor carrier. Absolutely. I love that. I'm going to introduce myself and go into my background. I grew up in this industry. I started as a driver recruiter in 2008, and where I really just fell in love with drivers and fell in love with trucking. I think a lot of you can probably relate. It kind of just gets in your blood, and I can't really imagine doing anything else. I was lucky enough to be a client of Driver's Legal Plan when I was at Melton. And then I went on to work at 10 Street, which is a technology company in the industry that helps companies hire and onboard drivers. And then for the last little bit over a year, I've been at Driver's Legal Plan and helping them grow their business, starting this great podcast and, doing lots of fun stuff with my friends, Brad and Jim, and Driver's Legal Plan. So Brad, what's your background? Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Sure. Well, I actually came into the legal profession, kind of backed into it. I started out in architecture. I'm a licensed architect, and one day I decided I hadn't maxed out my student loans, so that going to law school would solve that problem. So that was 25 years or 28 years or so ago. I went back to law school and began my legal practice. My father founded Driver's Legal Plan back in 91. He was a prosecutor in Oklahoma, and interestingly, his best friend owned a trucking company, and keep in mind, this was just in the advent of the CDL, so recognized a need for people to defend drivers as the CDL was coming to be. And I've been here for forever and a day. And I love what I do. I love the industry. I love the people in it. I love the drivers. And I'm always happy to get up every morning and know I can make a difference.
Yes. So we talk about this a lot, how much we love the trucking industry. And there's no industry like it that I know of or that I've heard of from people. And we are really lucky to work with people that we would consider friends and that we would spend time with, and we do spend time with, right, outside of work. And so what do you love the most about the trucking industry?
Lots of things. I love the people in it. I love the way that it's set up. You have an industry where you can have somebody who basically just went to high school and started driving a truck, but had common sense and business sense and was able to bootstrap from one truck to 1,000 trucks to create their own trucking company from the ground up. And then on the flip side, you have huge carriers who may have CEOs who went to Wharton School of Business or Harvard. It's everybody can be in it. It's an equal opportunity. It really depends on how hard you want to work and how much you want to put into it. And that appeals to me. I'd like everybody being able to make it and be successful in it, no matter what you do or what your background.
I love that. And it really is unique. I mean, you can come to the trucking industry, whether you're coming in as a driver or a driver recruiter like I did, right, with really all different types of backgrounds. And if you're willing to kind of work hard and do what it takes to get the job done, then you're going to be successful in trucking. And people are going to help you be successful if they see you working hard and trying to get the job done.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell hundreds of stories about carriers who know each other, who are friends, but yet who are competitors, mm-hmm. and a truck may break down near somebody else's terminal. They'll make a phone call and they'll haul it into their terminal for them.
Yeah.
What other industry do you do that for your competitors? You don't. It's a sense of community. You've heard me say it a million times, Marilyn. Transportation is an incredibly huge industry, but it's a profoundly small community.
Yep. Everybody, like a small town.
Everybody. It is. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I guess we should now talk a little bit about what we do at Driver's Legal Plan and tell the fine folks who've tuned in, besides just listening to our banter and looking at our beautiful faces, you know, what is it that we do at Driver's Legal Plan, Brad?
Okay. Well, the one thing that we do is we defend CDL drivers and motor carriers on anything that happens to them over the road. We are a national law firm, and as I said earlier, we were founded in 1991. And we've been doing this for quite a while. We'll defend the drivers on citations that they may receive, inspections that they receive over the road, and we'll also defend the motor carriers that make our service available free of charge on citations written directly to the carrier. So think of overweight fines and things like that. We've been doing it forever. We don't have any exclusions or limitations on hours. If it takes me 1 hour to defend you or 100 hours to defend you, you just pay one fee. We practice in the Continental 48. I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to do a seatbelt violation in Montana or a cell phone ticket in North Carolina. That's not the way we roll. We're here with you. We want to support you, and we want to keep you on the road.
Now, and you said, I think one of the things that you said is, you know, we are only doing CDL defense, and mm-hmm. that's what we do. And because
right.
of that, and you've talked to me a lot about this in the last year as I'm learning all the inner workings of Driver's Legal Plan and how things work, about something that I never realized before, you know, working at a trucking company, working with driver, I didn't realize how different tickets and violations could be from state to state, and that, you know, uniquely because of what we do, how we understand that. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's something maybe a lot of people don't understand.
Sure. Really, in transportation, you've got two levels of supervision and enforcement. You've got the feds who, you know, cover everything, the federal regs, CFR. But understand that the way we're set up, federalism allows each state to interpret the laws and create their own laws within their state. So out of all the states, you have some that at the most basic level are moving, non-moving type violation states, and you have other states that use a point system. Each state has their own list of violations, and, you know, state A's list may not match up to state B's list. But keep in mind that if you're a truck driver and you get a ticket in one state, it's going to be reported back to your home state where you have your CDL. And, you know, the problem that can arise then is if the violations don't match up. For example, I know one state that has a careless driving citation violation. It's, I mean, you should always be careful when you're driving, but it's not catastrophic. However, if you live in Georgia and that ticket gets reported back to Georgia, Georgia doesn't have anything like that on the books. So what they do is they code it as reckless driving, which now we're getting to things that are going to get your attention. It's a serious violation. It's probably going to get you fired from your job. And it's all because of the interrelationship between the states. Since we've been doing this and it's all that we do, we understand that. We get how states report back to each other. One state reports to the other, and we know all of that. We deal with it every day. So if we're able to get something amended in one state, we want to make sure that it's going to be the correct change in your home state so that you're not, you know, getting that last minute surprise when they pull up your MVR annually and say, well, what about this reckless driving?
An interesting reason, you know, it's, you know, you always, it's like, you always need somebody to take a look at the violation you've got, right? Because if you say, okay, I got this careless violation in Montana and it's not a big deal, but you do live in Georgia or Tennessee or wherever, it's like you don't always know, you don't know what you don't know, right? Which is, I think, a great benefit of having a plan like Driver's Legal Plan is, you know, with us, we're going to get your information, but and if we can't help you, we're going to tell you that we can't help you. But it's things like this, right, that protect you. You know, if you're a professional driver, you know, you can't know about all of the interrelationships with the states, even a safety professional, right? The best safety professionals, they can't know all of those interrelations. And so it's a really unique, I think, a unique thing that's specific to trucking and that you wouldn't pick up on this if it wasn't something that you were doing, living, breathing each and every day.
Right. And, you know, one of the things we do, if a driver receives a citation, pick up the phone and call us. We will tell you, hey, if you got this ticket in state X and you're found guilty of it, when it reports back, here's how it's going to be. And here's the impact that it's going to be have on your license, on your MVR. And, you know, trust me, if it's a $10 parking ticket that's not going to show up back in your home state, I'm going to tell you to pay the $10 parking ticket, move on down the road. But you need to know what's going on. And because this is all that we do all day long, we understand that and we're able to relay that information. You know, if you don't do this every day and make it, you know, the focus of your practice, you aren't going to know all those things. And you may, as an attorney, they may agree to something that's going to, you know, turn around and bite you. Worst case scenario, pick up the phone and call us what your ticket was, and we'll be able to tell you what the impact will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that in mind, to say, yes, always pick up the phone and call, admitting, you know, when you pay a ticket, you're admitting guilt, and then there's not as much that, you know, we can do about it. And so what's your advice to a driver? What is the first thing you should do immediately when you get a ticket?
Well, first off, I like to say we represent professional drivers. So what I'm going to ask you to do is be professional. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, arguing with enforcement is like arguing with an NBA ref. In all my history of watching sports, I've never seen a ref change their mind. It just doesn't happen. You're wasting your breath. Just because you got a ticket doesn't mean you're guilty. That's just an allegation. That's the officer saying, I'm alleging that you did this. You aren't found guilty until you pay your fine and plead guilty, or you're found guilty by the court of law. So recognize that you're going to have your moment to contest this. Don't do it on the roadside. It's going to make your life more difficult. And, you know, selfishly, it makes my life more difficult when I'm having to talk to an officer or a prosecutor and explain somebody's less than professional behavior roadside. It will benefit you to be a professional. How about that? I'll leave it there.
Yes, it's great advice, right? You can see... great advice for all of us, right? There's things, everybody. You know, you always get better results, right? With sugar versus vinegar. And
that's
so
exactly right.
I know I have to remind myself of that regularly.
Oh, I bite my tongue a lot of times, but it works out in the long run for everybody.
So we work with safety professionals, right? With our job, really one of the things that we pride ourselves on at Drivers Legal Plan is that we want to be a part of the safety department at the company. We want to help the drivers manage their safety and mitigate risk overall. And part of doing that is we go to a ton of events every year. We talked about how much we love the industry, and it's really important for us to support that industry and support our clients in that manner. And we have something really exciting coming up next week, actually, at the TCA annual safety meeting. We're sponsoring the Safety Professional of the Year. And so this has been a really cool experience. This is our first time to do this. And so we've been able to be involved a little bit in the process because it's been eye-opening. It's amazing. There's so many great trucking companies, and there's really tons of great safety professionals that really are kind of operating mostly from the same playbook. I mean, we all know we all have the same FMCSA stuff that we're running under and CSA and all of that, but it is really amazing and impressive to see what some of these companies driven by these individuals, you know, some of the stuff that they're doing to set themselves apart and stand out and make themselves safer has been really inspiring to me. It's also, you know, it's really exciting. You know, we know a lot of those people and that have won historically. A lot of them are our clients. And so that's really exciting as well. And so really just safety professionals and working with those safety professionals and being able to be a part of that. I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited for the person who's going to win this year, but also just it's encouraging to know what companies are doing to make themselves better and safer for all of us, for all of the motoring public.
No, that's exactly right. And I believe you were on the selection committee, so you may know who wins this year, but you're not telling us, are you?
I'm not telling. I may not be asked to be back on the committee if I gave it away. And so I'm trying to keep my mouth shut.
No, but you're right. That's something that we enjoy doing. You know, as Marilyn said, if we haven't met you yet, Just come to a conference. We're going to meet you eventually.
That's right. That's right.
We go to all of them, and we really support the industry. Yeah. And, you know, our goal and when we started the company is we want to be a part of everybody's safety department. I've got a wife. I've got kids. I've got people on the road. I want safe drivers. I want everyone to be safe. Mm-hmm. We want to be part of your safety culture. We want to work with you to put safer drivers on the road. And we understand that, you know, there are times drivers are going to get citations that aren't warranted, and we're going to be there to help them. And that's what we want to do. But, you know, to further to your point about being active in the industry, you know, in addition to the Safety Director of the Year, we also sponsor the Lead ATA and the TCA Elevate program, which are the young leaders, the next generation, the people who don't know what the X-Files are, which I have very serious issues with. There's a changing of the guard, and the changing of the guard changes the mindset. And it's, you know, I've been in this industry a while. To be able to see the changes and kind of the people moving out and the new people moving in, I've got all the confidence in the world in the next generation. Our involvement in those two programs has shown me that the industry's in good hands.
It's exciting to see the evolution. I've been in the industry almost 20 years now too, right? And so it's definitely an evolution. Mm-hmm. And really, I would say, an active engagement from the industry to say, hey, this is important. We need to make sure we diversify our leadership. We need to make sure that we have, that we are embracing the next generation at all levels, right? Of drivers, of recruiters, of CEOs. Yep. Like, we have to be moving people up through that pipeline. And I've been really impressed with organizations like ATA and TCA, with great sponsors like Drivers Legal Plan and our partners at 10th Street, you know, to say, yep, hey, we want to support these programs because we know how important they are. And that's definitely near and dear to my heart. So there's, nothing more important than the next generation, you know, getting them on board and helping them fall in love with trucking. This is part of the reason why I'm so glad that we started this podcast, so that we can talk through different things like this. I mean, as you guys have probably already noticed, we don't have a shortage of things to talk about. And so, you know, to get on and be able to talk about these things and hopefully educate people who may not know about them and bring some of our friends on to talk about things that they're experts in, I think it's going to be really exciting.
Well, first, I want to point out that lawyers actually do have friends, not many, but on occasion we do. And then I wanted to ask, is this a podcast or a vodcast?
Well, I want to know if you know what a vodcast is. It's, I mean, did somebody feed you that line?
Man, I even knew that acronym.
I think this is technically this is a vodcast. Most people probably will be listening to it instead of watching it. But yes, I guess technically we're recording a vodcast.
All right. I just wanted to show I'm not totally technologically
literate. When I listen to podcasts, I usually just listen to them. I've never watched a vodcast, but I have listened to some podcasts. So,
well, in that case, if you're listening, I look exactly like Brad Pitt.
That's right. He does. Yes.
In person, it's more like Danny DeVito, but you know.
Oh, you're so funny. Yeah, we hope you've enjoyed the first episode of the CDL Files, and we hope you'll tune in next time to learn more about Driver's Legal Plan, get some humor and banter with Brad and I, and we have a great lineup of guests that are industry subject matter experts, association leaders that I know you'll recognize and also be able to learn a lot from. And so we'll see you on the next episode of the CDL Files.
That's right. The truth is out there. See what I did there?
I like it.